All right. All right.
Everybody, y'all come on
Well,
in. Do some coaching today. And if you want to get coached, you just need to raise your hand. Deanna's got her hand up first, so I know she's going first, and I know that she wants coaching on. I saw her in person a couple weeks ago, and she said that she needed some coaching. So please make sure you raise your hand, though, because we only have one person right now who wants help today. And I have plenty of things to film after this. So we are going to hard break at 1:30 today. I am going to be filming your March content. So I have been like thinking about like what are some of these things that y'all struggle with that we could do like mini lessons on? And the one that comes up a lot is on your discovery worksheets, you'll say, like, why did I overeat? Well, it just tastes too good. It just tastes so good. So we are doing a full month on busting. It tastes so good. And I just finished writing everything. I have to film it today. It is chef's kiss. It is really good though. I thought about the problem hardcore about why do y'all think it's the food that controls you? Why do you think it's the taste that is controlling you? We want to make sure that what we do throughout March is really understand that when you think the food's doing it, then of course you're trying to ban the food. Of course you're trying to get it out of your house. You're trying to make everybody else not eat it around you, not offer it to you. You're doing a lot of things that aren't addressing the real problem. And you're trying to control your world. And the hardest thing to do in life is to try to control everything going on outside of you. Because when you're doing that, guess what you're not controlling? The one thing you can control, which is you. You can control you, but you have to know why you're not feeling the control. You have to understand why you don't think that, why you're not doing that. And we're going to do all of that throughout March. So it's going to be great. And I can't wait to give it to y'all. All right. Let me pull up the Q&A. Let's see. I just joined today. Where do I start? I had only been a member when for 6 weeks when I left and had no weight loss. Kim, you need to check your email. So everything will be coming through your email. If you're not getting an email from us, all you got to do is go to support. Just email us at support@pnptribe.com. We send you emails like when you first start that says, do this first, do this first, do this first. And then we send you an email on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They're telling you exactly what to do. So, like on Mondays, we preview what we want you to do for the week. On Wednesday, you get a personal email from us that says, hey, if you're having trouble, reply here. Tell us what's going on. We will help you. So, we do that during the first bit of your journey just to make sure that you are getting like taken through the program, step by step, hand holding all the way. So if you check your email, a lot of times what happens is our emails will, even if you're a member, they go to spam, they go to trash, they go to the promos tab, they go everywhere except for your inbox. That is blame Google, blame I don't know, Hotmail, wherever y'all be getting your emails. Blame all of those things. Your work email, if you use a work email, they're some of the worst at sending us to anywhere but your inbox. So for all of you, if you are not getting an email from me every Sunday for, I mean, this is for every member. If you're not new, if you do not get an email from me every Sunday that tells you, here's exactly what to do this week to lose weight, your newsletter, if you're not getting that, you are really missing out. And I work really hard on it. So I want you reading it because every single week I'm trying to think about, like, what is it that you need to know in order to make this week great in your weight loss? So if you're not getting that, support@pnptribe.com. They will check your account. Usually what they can see on their side is they can see that it's landing in your inbox. And if it's not opened, we know it's probably going to some type of like junk or promos tab. Or sometimes what happens is y'all just have a natural typo when you're giving us your email address. Sometimes you leave out a letter or something, and then it's just going to the nether regions somewhere, or somebody else is getting all your emails and they're like, what is this woman? She's always talking about weight loss. So, if you're an old member and you need a restart, what do you suggest? I suggest doing the START program, which is exactly what we're doing right now. That was designed for everybody who wanted to do a restart. So if you go to Nobius, your member site, go to Nobius Weight Loss. I forget what it's, but the member logins, but you can even go to nobiusweightloss.com. There'll be like a login button there. But we actually have one that goes straight to the membership. I never can remember. It's bookmarked on my phone, so I don't ever have to type it. So if you just go to our member site, which if you're checking your newsletters, everybody, guess what's linked there every fucking week? The member site. Clear as a bell. It'll take you right to the No BS Weight Loss course. It'll take you right to Ask Coaches. It will take you right to the training calendar. It'll take you like directly to things that we're doing. But if you need to start over, if you have already been a member and you want a restart, I suggest you go to the START program. So right now we're in the tail end of it that we started in January, but I designed it to where somebody could start at any time. And that's why it's called START. It's not called Start January 1. It's not called Start on Monday. It's not called, start, like the first day of spring, start January or June 1. It's called START. Get your ass off the couch right now and get started. That's why it's called START. So you can go and do that, and that will help you. All right, Deanna, you're first. It's nobswomen.com/member. That's the website. Thank you, Christy Larson. I was like, I cannot remember the damn link to the website. I just have it bookmarked. It's like I don't know anyone's phone number except for mine and Chris's. I couldn't tell you my mother's, my brother's, my son's. It's all in my phone. I'm like, shh, gone are the days where we know numbers again and stuff. All right, Deanna, tell everybody why we're coaching.
I'm
It's
sorry
good
I wasn't.
news.
I know it is. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. I messaged you in
Okay.
Slack, but I was like dead. Like I couldn't get up from the couch, obviously.
That is fine. You had already spent a few days with, she's in our business membership, everybody. That's why she was at my house for 4 days, or no, you were here 3 days,
Three,
but
yeah.
not like Deanna and I just hang out and
I would love that,
nice, but I didn't want everybody to be like, why does Deanna get to come to your house and I don't?
Okay,
All right.
so I'll let everybody know. So on my first day of being at in Tennessee for the mastermind, I found out that I was pregnant. So then I went through the 3-day mastermind knowing this. And obviously it's
And didn't
really
even say a word to me, y'all.
no, I was just like,
Not one
well,
word. Oh,
I told Marilyn and I was like, oh my God. Like, I think I told Olga too, because I was just like, oh my God. But anyway, I am trying to navigate the thought that I, like, for me, obviously I'm going to gain weight, right? That's a given. But the way I'm thinking about it is like either I'm going to gain all this weight and then be starting over from scratch again, or like that's the only option in my head, basically. That's how I'm viewing it. Is like I'm gonna be right back where I was before I lost my weight, and it's going to be like every other time when I've regained the weight, even though I know logically that's not what's going on.
okay, so what do you know logically? Let's start there. What do you already know?
Well, logically, I know that I've lost it before and I've kept it off for a long time. So I should be able to do that again. But these thoughts creep up of like, well, what if you, I guess it feels like there's, I don't really have a lot of control over what happens. Maybe that's where I'm kind of going wrong. Like I don't have control over how much I gain, which I guess in some sense can be true, but I don't know.
Okay, well, let's look at that thought. I
Okay.
don't have control because I will just say this. Your fear-based brain that's worried about losing control is the one that's kind of offering you. And then, oh my God, because we have no control. Like if we work on the thought that I have no control, you wouldn't be worried you were going to gain all your weight back. I think you said I'll gain it all back.
Yeah, like it feels the same as every other time that I've lost, like whether doing Weight Watchers or something else crazy, and then I've ended up back in the same place where I started. So I'm trying to separate
And were you
this.
pregnant each time,
No.
each one of those times? Okay. All right. That's just good to know. Like this is one of the things that we have to kind of do, which is we have to separate out what fear's saying and where you can get logically right now. Because you're going to need to remind the fear-based self why it's actually thinking what it is. Okay,
Okay.
so one thing that's happening is the fear part of you is worried that it's going to just gain all of the weight back because this smells like the last, like other times,
Yes.
which is common, everybody. I say this a lot of times. It's like your brain thinks this is apples to apples because there's similarities. So the similarities are I have lost weight in previous times, I have lost weight this time. I have gained weight previous times. This time, there is a likelihood of gaining some weight. So then your brain's like, well, then that must be the same. The brain loves to just make everything try to be like, let me fit it into a tidy little box, even if the boxes are not really connected.
Okay.
So we need to just remind ourselves, of course, I'm afraid because my brain thinks this is like the last time, but here's where the nuances are. Just
Yeah.
because two things seem alike, when I pull it apart, they're not exactly the same. Now that's just
Yes.
automatically, like when you think about it this way, which is, all right, the scared part of my brain, the one that thinks I'm going to lose control, is worried that this is just like all the other times. And what I know is inherently, this isn't like all the other times. One, I lost weight differently than I have in the past. That's just true. I wasn't always pregnant.
Yeah.
Like this time I'm pregnant. I might actually be more motivated
Yeah.
to, eat better this time or, do less emotional eating and stuff. Who knows? Like it just depends on, what goes on for you. But I could be even more motivated to pay attention to my body. And you've had a lot of practice at it now. So there's
Yeah.
also that difference. I've practiced keeping my weight off for a long time now, which I don't know that I had all that practice in the previous diets.
Yeah, I think it's probably better that I'm getting coached today and not last week because one thought that I've worked on this past week is like, as far as weight loss goes and eating, I'm just a totally different person, really. Like as far I say that all the time, even before I was pregnant, I always say like, I lost the majority of my weight with no BS. Then I went on Zepbound to lose the last like 20, but like I'm a totally different person in terms of food. Like even today, we were grocery shopping and my husband was like, oh, do you want like, I don't know, some kind of like hot chips? And I was like, no, I don't need to be buying that because I don't need to like go down a slippery slope. So like I know logically that it's all different. I think there's also like this thought about the number and the scale, which has been interesting because for the last couple of, months when I've been maintaining at 175-ish, I haven't really thought about the number. Like, I haven't really gotten on the scale that much every once in a while, but now I have it in my head like, okay, every time I weigh, I'm gonna gain. And I have this number in my head, like 200, that if I go over that it's gonna be bad because I for so long fought to get under that number. So there's a lot of drama surrounding like the number too, specifically.
Well, let me just say this. My hairdresser, she's got 3 kids and she was just a surrogate for some. This
Oh,
woman
wow.
loves being pregnant. I know.
Ugh.
I know. She loves being pregnant. She actually tells me, she all the time, she's like, I just love being pregnant. She was like, I'd surrogate for anybody
Oh,
and she'd
God.
have more kids if she could afford them.
My
The only
God.
thing slowing her down is not the kids, it's like the money. So
My
it's daycare. I know. I'm always just in awe of her. So she's like your size. Like when she got pregnant this last time, she was about 175, maybe 180. She gained 10 pounds.
Yeah.
It is not, her first kid, she gained like 80 pounds. Like when she had Isaiah, like, it was just out the door. And then when she had her other 2 kids, she learned from Isaiah that she never wanted to be pregnant like that again. It was just so miserable for
I'm
her.
sure.
And this is why she loves being pregnant now, is because like she said, it's so funny when I'm pregnant, she said, I feel like I take such better care of myself. I pay so much more attention. She's like, I even exercise more when I'm pregnant. She's like, the second a baby comes out, it's like she has to work on non-baby time. So, only reason why I offer that is because your body is going to do what it's going to do, but it's heavily influenced by what you do. Now, if you just keep doing your no BS stuff and you're like at the store and your husband's like, you want some flaming hot chips or whatever it is, and you're like, nope, I don't. I know that while I'm pregnant, the last thing I want to do is start bringing foods back into the house that I don't want to have to break the habit later. I just don't. And that's okay. Like, those kinds of things are what will ultimately influence the scale. And this isn't coaching per se, because I'm more just kind of telling you a lot of things that I think, then I'll ask you how you feel. But I think that when you are especially pregnant, when you are, this could go for anybody who's like in cancer treatments. This could be for you if you are having a surgery and you're going to be, like laid up for 3 to 6 months, whatever it is. It all is the same. During that time, it really doesn't matter what the scale does. It matters what habits you form and which habits you keep. When like I wasn't pr like I was not a champ at being pregnant. When I had Logan, I gained all the weight and some. I mean, I was already big, and then I just was just like, pfft. I mean, Chris and I we laugh all the time because we have this picture of me laying in the hospital bed. Swear to God, my nose was like this big. I don't know how, but my nose had swelled so bad, which I hear a lot of women say, but I never knew that was going to happen. And one day we were looking through pictures of me in that bed, and I was just like, oh my God, I looked miserable. I was miserable. Chris goes like that. And I said, what? And he said, why didn't you say something? And I said, say what? He said, I was fat. We ate our way through my pregnancy, both of us. And we both weighed 250 at the end. We were equal partners in that.
I love that.
I'll never forget him just going like, why didn't you tell me? I was like,
God.
I don't know. I
You were worried about you, yeah.
was so fucking fat, I couldn't see past
That's hilarious.
nose. Yes. So anyway, the reason why I say all this is because like when I was pregnant, I didn't pay attention to no habits. Like none. Like that was back in my day. Now, I've had surgeries since then. I've had some whoppers where I was not able to go to the gym or do jack shit for 12 to 16 weeks. Kind of, it wasn't like pregnancy, but it reminded, it was, I had lost all my weight, barely had been maintaining very long. And then now I was ripping away the gym, like all the things I would normally do. It felt like I was going to gain my weight back. And what I did during that time was I really focused on habits. I knew that I was like, you can't rely on the things that you have done necessarily, but you can rely on the things you can control. I could control how I ate through it. I could control how often I weighed. I could control lots of things. Like there were just things I could control. And I thought more about that because your brain is going, when anything that changes, your brain is just wired to look for potential problems. And I think the only reason why it's freaking out is because this is different. And if it's different, your brain is like, warning. Let me tell you everything that can go wrong. And let me tell it to you over and over again. But it's coming from a good place, Deanna. It's coming from the place of, you worked so hard to get here, and I don't want you to lose it.
No, I think that's 100% true. Like it feels exactly the same, but then when I zoom out, it's 100% not the same. Like I am not the same person in literally every aspect of my life. I'm a different person. So, and you've seen that. So, yeah, I think that thought is very helpful. And then just remembering that I am in 100% control of my habits, specifically my eating habits. So if I can kind of keep that at the forefront of my mind, I think that's going to be really, really helpful because, yeah, in the beginning, I was just thinking, like, well, that's it. Like, whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen to me, which in some sense is true, but there is a lot that I can control, a lot.
Yeah, and it's like one of those true thoughts that's not really helpful unless it feels good. You know, if it feels good to like if it's like if it feels abundant and it feels safe and stuff, yes, do it all day. But it doesn't sound like that's what it feels like. It just feels
Not at
like
all.
it's laced with, you know, like danger and bad and all this other stuff. And that's why I think you saying like I have a lot of control over like I have the control over the habits. That's what I have, and we just focus on what do I control, and you control, you know, what you eat. One thing that'll probably come up is increased hunger, and that'll have its own thoughts. So you'll want to be thinking about like, what is it that I'm likely to think when hunger increases? You know, and you'll want to be prepared with great thoughts around that. Like, I would first think about, are there any, you know, thoughts that make you feel bad or scare you or whatever? And then you're just going to take, I just make a list of them. And then you're just going to do what we just did, which is like, but what is also true? Where is my control in this?
Yeah,
Because, you know, go ahead.
what's been really interesting about the hunger, and I think this is good for everybody to hear, specifically if you're on a GLP-1. So the hunger does come back. It does, but it's honestly been fascinating because I've been off of it for a few weeks now, and it's been fascinating that I, for the most part, yes, I feel the hunger more strongly, but I don't overeat because of what I did in OBS. Like, I genuinely do not overeat. I mean, most of the time. So that's a good thought to hold on to too, that, like, yes, the medication, you know, changes some things chemically, but my behavior is still able to stay the same, which is a good thing that I need to remember too.
I think you're going to do so much better. And let me just, than you think you are, but let me just say this for everybody. Deanna is like really successful, y'all, like in a lot of ways. She has, don't laugh. Not only has she lost like over 100 pounds or like 100 pounds, I think it was 100, but she started off as a teacher and then she wanted to open her own business. She's opened her own business. She's got two locations. You have two, correct? I don't want to be lying.
Nope, I
Okay,
have
two
two.
locations. She's one of the, I guess you are the top performer in our mastermind. She's killing. Well, you kind of
Insane.
are. Yes. I mean, she's
Insane.
doing really well. And she's opening a school on top, a little micro school, because she just has a passion for teaching ADHD kids that are homeschooled. Like she just feels like these micro schools where she's located aren't doing a good enough job. So she's decided to do it. And she's already got like six parents that want to join.
I
Like
do.
the reason why I say all this is because you have to keep reminding yourself, I have, like, how long have you been with me?
Probably. Well, I was listening to your podcast since like 2017, but I think I signed up in 2021, I think, or
So
2020.
since so 5 years, let's say 5 years. For like 5 years, she has drastically proven herself wrong over and over again.
That is true.
I mean, like over and over again. We've coached on a bunch of stuff, and she goes off and she fixes it, and she swore to God it was such a problem, and here it is, not a problem. And like she's just living proof that your brain can act like a total fool for a while, and you can still be really successful. You can
Very
still
true.
do
No,
things that you don't think you can do.
100% true. That's probably going to be my winning thought.
Yes, I'm always wrong about how successful I can be.
No, that's going to be my winning thought for sure. Yeah, this was super, super helpful. Thank you. All
Right. Thank you. I'll see you on my
I'll
next
see you soon.
business call.
Yes, I'll
Bye.
see you. I think it's next week or the week after.
Yes.
All right,
All
bye,
right.
Corinne. Thanks.
I just want to like really tie that up in a bow for all of you. I know belief is something that the bulk of us struggle with. I struggle with belief in all kinds of things, like hard. And I think what saves me And it's one of the things that we'll be talking about at September camp for all of you who are coming, is that even back in the day before I really knew that you didn't, like, I didn't logically know this, but there was something going on inside of me that was like, I don't need you to believe right now. Like, I just need you to not act like somebody who doesn't believe. Like, for me, that was so important when I first started, because every day I was like, I mean, I doubted it all. I cried probably the first 3 months. I was still crying about my weight, even though I was doing things. I was still scared to death, still crying that I was so out of shape. And like, you know, in my mind, I was a loser mother and a loser wife and blah, blah, blah. Like, none of that stuff stopped in the beginning. But I also had a couple of other like powerful little narratives that I just made myself think about. One is I knew that I was not going to do anything to lose weight that I couldn't do for the rest of my life. I mean, I had just had an ass full of diets. I was not going to do anything that I couldn't do the rest of my life. Now, let me explain that just a hot second. What I did in the beginning to get me going, I wasn't doing at the end anymore. I didn't need it anymore. But I met myself where I was in the beginning. And then when I got good at those little bitty things, a little bit of confidence grew. Then I was able to do, like, now I was willing to do other things that I could see doing for the rest of my life. As I lost weight, what I was willing to do for the rest of my life was changing and evolving because I was allowing myself to get small wins. I was allowing myself the time to fundamentally change. The foundation for what I would need for each level was increasing. And I think that's a part that you guys miss out on. You think that what you're willing to do on day one is like what you're going to be doing until the, you know, last breath you draw on this, you know, this earth. That's not how it works. We just need to figure out what you're willing to do today. And we need to just be doing that. And then eventually you get good at that. It becomes like a new norm. It becomes your new kind of baseline. And then you're ready to challenge yourself because you've seen yourself already change something. So first and foremost was this like promise to myself that I wasn't going to do anything I wasn't going to be willing to do for the rest of my life. And that just evolved as I went along, even to this day. I worked out before I came onto this call today. I just want to say, I want to be real honest, I didn't go to church today. It was pouring down rain here. And our parking lot to get to our church is way far away. I mean, it's like a 5 minute walk. And I got to record and be here today. I was like, I won't even be able to get my hair dry by the time I get done. So I did skip church this week. I am going to listen to something later on today. I make that promise to everybody. But I worked out today before this call because I'm going to be in a 3 day meeting Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I knew that those mornings, because I'm going to be downtown Nashville, I wasn't going to have a chance. Day one, Corinne was not planning ahead. Day one, Corinne was taking a 15-minute walk each day because that is the only promise she could make to herself. You know, here I am, you know, thousands of days later, and my baseline now is someone who figures out how to get her workouts in each week to the best of her ability. That's the new baseline habit. It doesn't mean every week they all get done, but this week I was like, if I start them on Sunday, I think I could get them all done this week and not have and just take my 2 days off. Two of the days I'm downtown. I'll just only have to get up real early one day. So it's just important for y'all to know that piece. The second thing that was really key for my belief, really key, was for me to be aware of every single time. I called it old me thinking all the time. I would like catch myself saying, we can't do this, or a little won't hurt. This tastes so good. Might as well have. You'll never lose your weight. You'll be fat the rest of your life. Like any time that I was like, I could hear things. Don't ask me why, because I didn't even read self-development back then, but something in me clicked that if I'm going to lose my weight, I can't just let myself think those things. Now, I can have those thoughts, but old Corinne had those thoughts and acted upon them. She believed them. She just thought they were, they justified her choices. They were the king ding dong excuse, or that is what she blamed for why she couldn't lose her weight. I did a lot of blaming, excusing, and justifying. And I knew that I wasn't going to lose weight if I was going to blame, justify, and excuse all the time. So I could have any shitty thought that I wanted to have, but I got so good at saying, that is the way old Corinne thinks. New Corinne doesn't act like that. So if I said, you're never going to be able to lose your weight, I'd be like, that is old Corinne thinking. Like, I need to remember I am figuring this out. So I'm going to do something today that helps me. And I mean, I was hardcore about it. Very hardcore. That is what it takes. It is not going to be a matter of you knowing your perfect hunger signals, exactly when your body signals you've had enough. Like, that stuff is like the things we do, but deep down, what's really going to help you is to not die by a thousand cuts because you're letting excuse, blame, and justification let you do little bitty things that fuck the whole process up. So you do not need to believe that you can lose weight. You just can't act like someone who believes they can't lose weight. You just can't let that be the only thing that you tell yourself. If you say, I don't think I can lose weight. I know I can't lose weight because I've never done it before, because every single time I've failed in the past, whatever your litany of blame, excuse, and justification is, you owe it to yourself to say, and here's also what's true. I am in no BS. I'd like to figure this out. Because if I had to guess for all of you, just give me an emoji in the Zoom if you'd like to figure this out. I just want to know how many people would like to figure out their weight loss. All right. Now, tell me in the chat if you're like, no, I prefer not to figure out my weight loss. I'd like to stay just like I am. Unless you're in maintenance. Now, maintenance people don't get to answer. That's a whole different thing. Active weight loss people. All right. Said no one in the chat. Nobody is like, I would like to not figure it out. I'd like to just keep paying you money every month because I like your ass. You seem like a charitable donation that I love making. Nobody's here for that. So it's really important. I just don't trust I can figure it out. That's a great comment. Why do you need to trust? Sue, answer that. Why do you need to, after everything I just said, trust is another excuse. I just don't trust that I, see, I just don't trust that I can figure it out. So when we think that, we need to also say, but I'd like to. But I'd like to. And I know there's a million reasons why I don't trust myself, but there's also a million things I can do in the future to prove all that wrong. That is equally as true. But y'all tell me these thoughts. Like Sue's telling me, I don't trust I can figure it out, as if, like, now, Corinne, I'm fixing to tell you one you've never heard. Like, I'm fixing to lay it on you. This is so different than what you've been talking about. It ain't no different. It's one more thought in a pile of shitty ones. If you don't believe you, like, I want you to hear this. If you don't believe you can lose weight, it's the same thing as saying I don't trust. They're no different. They're literally just thoughts. They are things that your brain right now, like your brain is designed to explain things to you. If your brain wasn't designed to explain things, it would just be, it would be so simple. I would lay out the basics, Sue, and then here's what would happen. You'd be like, do those. We wouldn't believe. We also wouldn't disbelieve. We would be like, if you've ever used any AI, if you've ever used ChatGPT or Claude or anything, it would be like, you'd be the AI. Like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. You gave me my command. That's what I'm going to do. But our brains aren't wired to just do what we hear. Our brains need an elaborate story, and they are skewed to tell a terrible story first. Because, Sue, this is why. Your brain doesn't want to lose weight. Here's why it doesn't want to lose weight. It's worked really hard over the last few years to form habits around food. It's like, oh, Sue, when you get stressed, what we eat, that's a habit. Sue, I'm feeling bad about your weight again. Let's go to the pantry. That's a habit. Sue, I don't trust that you can lose weight. So now let's go get some food. We might as well just eat dinner like we always do. We might as well eat our nighttime snacks like we always do. We might as well eat on the weekend like we always do. The brain isn't saying any of this shit, Sue, because it's true. It's wired for you to not change your habits. It's just like, tell me in the chat, how many of you have woke up and you're right-handed? So let me just only talk to the righties. Now, I'm not like being biased here. My husband, over 50% of my actual family is left-handed, but Corinne's a righty. I don't know why God gave me a left hand. It's very, like, very much dysfunctional. But how many times, all you righties, have you woke up one morning and just said, like, today's the day. I'm gonna start writing with my left hand. This is gonna be awesome. And I can't wait. It's gonna go great. Never. No. Now, could all of us use our left hand? Yeah. We could figure it out. Like, it would be hard. It'd be tough. It would be illegible for a while. We'd want to go for our right hand and stuff. But we don't naturally want to do something we absolutely could do simply because our brain knows if you're going to change a lifetime habit, that's going to take work. And I don't want to do work. The brain is not wired to want to change habits, but that doesn't mean you can't change habits. And that's a big difference that y'all need to get like a distinction on. It's like your brain is not wired to believe that you can lose weight. It's not incentivized or motivated to trust that you can do it. There's nothing in ever that's ever, ever, ever going to come and happen to your brain that makes it just wake up one day and say, like, I just want to like do everything that I don't normally do. I want to drive to work in a new way. I want to write with my non-dominant hand today. It's not wired to do it. But it can. So you need to remind yourself that just because I don't believe, just because I don't trust myself, and it feels really powerful, that really doesn't mean that I can't. It just means that between me and being able to do it is a lot of little habits that have to change over time. The pace at which I eat, how much I think about my food has to change. Sometimes the quality of foods that I eat will change some. The amounts I serve myself automatically that I'm just used to dumping on my plate, it's probably gonna have to change. What I always order when I go through a drive-through, when I go to a restaurant, when I go on anywhere, probably is a habit I have to change. I have to just look for all the little places. Things are automated, and I need to start making some changes. Until those become my new foundation, until my brain gets used to doing it, and it's going to be just like your handwriting. It will take a while. for it to be the new normal. Just imagine if you've written with one hand all of your life, and you now you suddenly are going to have to use the other one. It's not a smooth ride at first. There's low-level frustration because you're going to want to be able to use it. You're not going to like that you're not good at it yet. But if I took away your right hand and you had to use your left hand, you'd keep going. I think what a lot of you have to do is you have to take away the option of quitting for yourself. Just because it's frustrating, just because you want it to go faster, just because it's not perfect, just because it's sloppy right now, you have to stop giving yourself the option to quit over that. That just means it's part of the process. But we quit because we don't think it's part of the process. You quit because like if all you were doing was being frustrated that it's taking some time to get good at it, we'd all keep going. But that's not what we're doing. We're not frustrated at the process. We're angry, disappointed, ashamed, and mad at ourselves. We call ourselves stupid, undisciplined, lazy. We tell ourselves, well, you're never going to be able to do it. You're just not good at it. You can't trust yourself around food. That's why we quit. We never quit because the process is sloppy or hard, because learning anything, that's just part of it. We quit because between the process being hard and figuring it out, in the middle is the conversation you have with yourself. And if the best you got is beat downs, you'll quit over the beat down because you won't want to feel emotionally bad. There's a difference between a process feeling hard and you being hard on yourself about that. And a lot of you have got to segment out where you're being hard on yourself, because the people who don't believe and the people who don't trust always have that problem. So it's not that you don't trust yourself. It's that when you don't do it right or the way you think you should, you are an asshole to yourself. I guarantee you that language is not great. Otherwise, you wouldn't even deem yourself an untrustworthy person. Just think about it. The only people in my life that I've ever looked them in the face and said, I can't trust you, are people that have hurt me. And if you're looking in the mirror and saying, I can't trust you, then that means you're looking in the mirror and saying, Corinne, you hurt me. You say these things to me. And you spend your life breaking up with yourself over and over and over again. And we don't have to be in that relationship at all. When we talk about where's our control in all this, that is where a lot of it is. We control how hard we make the process. We control whether we quit or not. We also control how we speak to ourselves. And for a lot of you, the biggest habit that you're going to have to break that is the hardest is the way you speak to yourself. You have to listen for it. It's not always like a slap in the face or a punch in the throat. Sometimes it's the little things. Like, well, it's not belief. It's just that I don't trust myself. That probably came out not even like feeling like it's just a truth that you're speaking into the world. It probably didn't even occur to you that was like you looking at your best friend and saying, you know what? Here's the problem in our relationship. I don't trust you. And we can rebuild trust by not yelling at ourselves anymore and being more kind, considerate, compassionate, and curious around when we are overeating, what's really going on. Because one of the things that I think all of you can like take to the bank that I will always be helping you with when it comes to your weight loss is I will help you figure out why food is so hard for you. What is it doing for you? What is it helping you escape from in your life? What is it creating for you? For some of you, it creates safety. For some of you, it creates entertainment. For some of you, it creates a buddy. A lot of you, it numbs you out from your own self-loathing. It lets you check out because you worry all the time. It's the only way you take a break. There's a million reasons why we're eating like this. And my promise to every no BS woman is I will never, ever let you lose weight at the sacrifice, like the diet altar sacrifice, where we go and we lay all of our pounds on there, but we also lay our self-worth and soul on there too. Where we don't fix what's really going on, where we just get thin and still can't look at ourselves in the mirror, still don't feel like we can trust ourselves, still talk to ourselves the same way. We're just talking like an asshole to a thinner version of us, still worrying our ass off for no reason, still people pleasing, still giving ourselves no breaks, no rest, feeling guilty if we take any time for ourselves. I'll never let you lose weight that way. It's harmful. The diet industry, I swear to God, it is doing harm to women every day. And I will not be a part of that. And that's why I'm glad y'all are here. So it shouldn't be this way. And I don't want that for any of you. So I promise you, you don't need to believe. You don't need to trust yourself, but you do need to be really focused on how am I talking to myself? I am going to figure this out. I'd like to figure this out. I'm going to lose this weight the way I want to live the rest of my life, which includes treating myself well, which includes working on how I talk to myself, breaking the internal habits that I have. It's not just my external habits, it's also my internal habits. Because the reason why I lost my weight was because I actually did that. And I thank God every day that I figured that piece out. I don't even know how I did it. Like I said, I never even read a self-help book. I didn't even watch Oprah back in the day. I didn't do anything. But please don't roll the dice, y'all. Don't leave it up to chances. I just happened to be, I think I was literally born to do this. I know that sounds crazy, but with all that I went through in my life, with all the depression and everything, there's a reason why I'm here, and I really think this is it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to figure this out so I could teach lots of people. Okay, we're gonna stop with Corinne's ranting, and we're gonna go to coaching. Oh my God, I'm a mess today. I don't know why. My aura ring says I feel like a champ today. Del Ronda. Somebody asked, how do you bookmark the site on your phone? I'm not very tech savvy. I have to look it up on my email every time. It's if you will, like, please, Karen, just type right into support at pmptribe.com. And we have instructions on how to do that. So if you just, or you can go to the website and you can just click the little blue question mark on there and tell them, I'd like to know how to, like you can make an icon for the website on your phone and it'll just take you right there every single time. They are happy to send you those instructions. All right, Deronda, let's get you unmuted and get your camera on. Ooh. I can't believe I'm going to film after this. I'll probably have to go upstairs and fix my fucking makeup now. All right. What are we coaching on today?
Hello. I'm just still getting over what everything you just said. It was great.
Thank
And
you.
I'm so glad to be here. this is kind of more life related, but because it's the thing that makes me overeat, I figured
Yeah.
maybe you could speak to this. So I am a nurse. I've been a nurse for I'm on my 31st year
Good for
and
you.
right and I It's so crazy. Like, I love my job, but I hate it too. And just when I am hating it, that's when I overeat. I get home, I'm exhausted, and obviously I'm tired, but then I just feel so hungry and I just want to feed it. And I've tried many different types of nursing. I even tried an office job just so I'd have a little more autonomy over eating and going to the bathroom and drinking water and things like that.
Right,
But,
like to be able to take care of your needs. So
right?
you feel like it's not getting triggered by being underfed or underhydrated. It's really coming from the hate.
I think it's coming more from just I'm at work all day long and I work so hard to try to take care of people that by the time I get home, I'm just so depleted. And it's not every day that I feel that way. But I dread going to work a lot. But the thing is like I work in such a good job. I have a great boss. I have a great group of people I work with. And so I really don't want to change the job. Like, I know I want to do this. I want to
That's
stay
fine.
there. Yeah.
We can stay there. Why do you dread it though?
Because not every day is good, and some the bad days are so bad.
Why are they so bad?
There's just not enough time in the day to do everything that your patients need, and
Yeah.
a lot of times we're short and you're
But
just
why is that
running.
bad instead of normal?
I think that probably just because I really want to do a good job when I'm at work and when I feel like I can't.
Okay, let me ask you this though. Like, because I think in every profession, like, I just want to, just so everybody can get help, it's very rare you're going to find a profession or a job where, number one, there aren't bad days. Number two, that you're not going to have too much to do, especially in this day and age.
True.
I mean, I don't even remember the last time I didn't have, in fact, this, when I was working out, I had my iPad with my good notes. In between sets, I'm like writing all the things down I need to do this week that have to be done in 2 days because I normally have 6 days to do it. This week I have two. So I still have to do everything I normally do in 2 days, which means
Right.
I'm not going to be able to do all of it. But in my mind, like I don't, like I'm not thinking, oh, it's going to be a terrible week. This is going to be so bad. I can't do everything I want to do. Oh no, no, that your thought. I have the thought. I'm not going to be able to do everything I want to, I can't or I need to do or want to do. But that makes me think like, okay, then I need to prioritize. You're thinking I'm not doing a good job because of it. And I want to examine that. Are you
Well,
truly not doing a good job? Are you calling it not doing a good job?
yeah, I mean, I shouldn't, I probably didn't express that quite the right way. I mean, I can just say like a rough shift for me would be that I've got, I work in a step down care area, so I usually have around three patients that are pretty sick. And if I've got three patients that can't even turn themselves, and I have to go and turn all three of them, and two of them are shitting themselves continuously, and
Right.
just that kind of day where you just are struggling to keep up, and somebody's super sick, and two people need you at the same
But this
time.
is right. I understand all that. You're giving me the
Yeah.
facts of your job.
Yeah.
We haven't figured out why emotionally it has you falling face down in food when you go home.
Yeah,
Because
I
there's
well.
other nurses in the world that have shitty jobs, like, and yours is literally shitty.
It is
We
some
get to say
days.
it's like a literally shitty job some days. But some of them don't go home and eat. Some of them go home and go straight to bed. Some of them go home and veg out in front of the television. Some of them go home and eat a very healthy meal because they had such a shitty day. So we're trying to figure out what is it that's unique to your thoughts about that, that you're not saying, okay, these days are hard physically. These days are, they do wear me out. But that doesn't have you go home and be like, and that's just my job.
Yeah, I guess part of me is afraid. I've got 9 more years until I can retire at the earliest. So I don't know if my body's going to be able to continue to handle it. I mean, thank God for my husband. Like, he'll rub my feet at the end of a really rough day. I mean, what a God love him. And he always has my coffee ready for me in the morning. I don't know what I'd do without that, but yeah, I guess I just don't know what I'll do.
What's the tears about right now?
I think it's just my job's just really hard some days, and I worry sometimes, like, how am I going to keep doing this for 9 more years?
Okay,
So,
let's do this.
yeah.
Let's separate out hard. There's the physical part that's hard, but let's figure out where it emotionally is hard because we don't know physically if you'll be able to do it, but we know you'll be able to do it for the next at least few weeks. So we don't always have to worry about the like, or your brain is kind of what I think it's doing is throwing you a distraction bone. Oh my God, let's think about 9 years. For God's sakes, let's not figure out the emotional shit that we're going through right now that some days makes it hard for us to eat well. And our brain loves that. It's just like, I've got something we could think about. This will be great. This will distract you from ever trying to lose weight. All right. So when I say emotionally hard, what I mean is I want you to think about a really hard day. You got three patients, they all have to be turned. Two have shit themselves at least twice. Whatever else goes on, and you can't even get everything done. Okay. We're going to call that a normal day because that is part of your job. But you're not making it normal. You're making it hard because you have thoughts about that. One of them that you did pull out was, I'm making it mean I'm not doing a good job. And I'm going to keep coming back to it because when you watch the replay, I want you to see how easy it was for that to just roll out your mouth like vomit. It was just like, and when I can't get everything done because of a hard day and blah, 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 like that means I'm not doing a good job. Whenever we say things just like that, that means deep down, that's usually one of the things that's a tape that's running underneath. Or you'd never say it. It's not like you're, just like, I know what I'll do. I'll get on Corinne's coaching call, just make some bullshit up. Okay, so one thing we know is you're making it mean hard days when there's too much to do and you can't get to all of it. You're making it mean, and that means I'm not doing a good job. What else are you making it mean?
Just another thought that comes up all the time is I've, over the years lost. Okay, so I'll just say that ultimately, like, one of my strongest hopes and dreams and beliefs is, gosh darn it, I just want to get to enjoy at least a few year, a year or more of retirement. I don't want to die in this job. I've
Okay.
lost several coworkers over the years that never got to retire. And I just feel like in a job like this, I just want to be able to make it there, And so, like, that's one of the reasons why I love doing what I do is because I work 12-hour shifts. So that means I get 4 days off a week to actually live my life, So yeah, I think that's one of my deep down, well, not deep down, obviously it's right here in the front of my brain and I'm sharing it with you, but that's one of my big fears. And honestly, like, the reason why I wanted to get on this call is just if I could just figure out how to not dread going to work and just be at peace with it and just work.
I don't think that's what you want to do. Why do you want to cut dread out of your life?
Shoot, my phone is pausing.
That's okay. Can you hear me right now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear
Now I can.
me?
Now I can. Sorry about that.
Okay, I'm going to change my
Yes.
question.
Okay.
It's a good thing you didn't hear it, because after I said it, I didn't even like it.
Oh.
Okay, so here's what I'll just say. You're trying to cut dread out, and that is impossible. Impossible. Dread is a natural feeling. Dread is something that protects us from staying in something that we might not need to be in. What we can do is not take your dread so seriously and not think that we're supposed to, like, I just want you to think about this, like, what we could do. Because if I had to go to a job where I knew there were going to be days where, do you ever lose patience?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I would hope that you would dread going to work if there was a strong chance of losing someone. I wouldn't want
Yeah.
you to be like, I'm at peace with it. That bitch, I didn't even like her anyway. Like, I mean, think about when we give up one feeling, that means we have to invite another one in. And it's
True.
often like not a great trade. We can make dread less painful. We can make dread normal, just like, yeah, I dread going in because they're just really tough days sometimes. It's normal. We can soften dread, but I just don't think you're going to, like, it just feels like a leap to say that my job is physically demanding and people die sometimes and people are shitting themselves and they can't even turn themselves. And I want to be at peace. I just don't want to be at peace with that. Now, I want to be proud of myself that I do it, which you have that. I want to remind myself in the moments when I dread it to say, where can I make this easier today? Like, I could probably remind myself that I'm just the kind of person that does a really good job. Even if we're behind, and even if people, like, if there are things happening, it's not because I'm not doing a good job. It's because there are just things sometimes that happen in this job. And then the I don't want to die in this job thought, that's a big one because that's fear-based. This is where I always like to really, really talk to myself with like grace and compassion, because you said you'd like to be at peace. I think you need to tell yourself, instead of I don't want to die in this job, I'm going to figure out how to thrive in this job. And put your brain to work on that. So if we were going to like really put our brain to work on knowing my job, and the facts are, it is hard. And there are days where I get behind. There are days when there's a lot on me. There are days when people die. There are days when people shit themselves. There are days when, people are like, it's physically demanding. Knowing all of that, now how am I going to thrive in this job? So, what ideas do you have?
I so enjoy working with the young nurses and stuff. I'm older than most of their parents. But yeah, I do enjoy the mentor role a great deal. And I'm definitely one of the oldest people on my floor. So that's that part I absolutely love. So
But how are you going
that's
to thrive? That's just an aspect of your job that you like. How are
yeah.
you going to thrive in a demanding job?
Well, I think sometimes, I'm just gonna have to be at peace with doing the best I can, and some days you can't do all the things that you are supposed to do. There's just not enough time,
Yeah, and that is the best you can.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, I just need to be at peace with doing the best I can. It's like this job was never, ever Like I would guarantee you that if you went to your boss and you asked, "Can I just ask you a question? Is this job designed to where every single day we get every single thing done, even if our patients die, shit themselves, and need turning all the time, if there's emergencies?" What do you think your boss would say?
Yeah, she gets it too. She's very
Right.
supportive.
You need to remind yourself, this job was never designed to get everything done. This job is designed for someone just like me who comes in and does their best every day. I'm smart enough to know what absolutely needs to get done. I'm like one of the seasoned nurses. The youngins look up to me. Like, I understand. I don't like if I'm going to thrive in this job, I don't need to just be at peace with this. I need to say, like, this is the job. You don't get everything done every day. You pivot. You do your best because your best is going to be different every day. It's going to depend on a lot of external factors. How else could you thrive in this job? Like, how can we set you up to be thriving is the question.
Well, I'm glad I joined No BS this year because I've lost some weight and I'm already feeling better. I feel so much more awake at work and less tired. So that's helping a ton. I've been really intentional about my meal prep and making sure I have good food to eat, and I've got meat sticks in my locker, for those times where you can't really get a break. And I'm just trying to set myself up for success. So I'm definitely seeing improvement and just becoming aware of, I think I said something in our Facebook group about the fact that the other night, like I knew I had some microwave popcorn in my pantry and some Dubai chocolate, and I just knew it. I was already laying in bed watching TikToks, getting ready to go to sleep, and I was thinking about those things, and then I was like, I'm just tired. That's why I'm thinking about this stuff. And I just rolled over. I put on your podcast and I fell asleep.
Good.
So,
So let's
yeah.
think about this. For the nights where you're coming home and you are eating, I would be thinking about now, how can I thrive on those nights? Like, what is it that I'm really needing on those nights that these last, the last stand of overeating is trying to, happen? On those days, what is it that I could either prepare, remind myself, but way before? Most of the time, what y'all want to do is you want to just make a plan for like the moment you walk in the door. I think the plan has to start earlier in the day. Like, we have to start, like, do you feel like you have a good sense of when you're going to have a shit day?
I mean, after I get there,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like in the moment, you can tell, like, ooh, I'll give you an example. There are days I wake up and I just think, today's gonna be a great day. Like, all cylinders, I'm fine. Then we get to about 10 o'clock in the morning and I start like getting messages from my team. Well, this broke and this person's not happy. And oh, we lost your video. Can you reshoot this? And oh my God, we forgot to tell you. We need this by tomorrow. Sorry, it's late. Like that. And I'm like, now I'm looking at it going, well, fuck me. I thought I was going to have a great day where I could just like create and write content and do it on my couch next to my cat. And I don't even have to shower today. No. Now, on those days, I know the day's going to hell on a hand cart. It's in that moment when I know the day's going to hell that I start planning for evening Corinne. Because I know that when Corinne starts having a shitty day and misses meals, she better make like today is a good day. I have not had like I'm drinking a shake, which I will just tell y'all, I do it for the protein, but this is not satisfying. It tastes good. But damn it, I had steak and sweet potatoes sitting upstairs waiting on my ass with southern green beans cooked in bacon. This is a sad, sad substitute. Now, I gotta record after this in order to meet our deadlines. I'm not gonna get to eat until like 4:30 this afternoon. I already started making plans so that I'm not face down in Uber Eats or whatever, because that would be way more like steak, sweet potato, and green beans sounded really good for lunch. But when you've worked all day and the day's gone to shit, you had to do extra things you didn't want to do. Guess what doesn't sound good at 5 o'clock? Trust me, Chipotle sounds way better. Chips and guac on the side. So I've already started planning for it. I've already told Chris, hey, we're not going to order Uber Eats tonight. Don't even let me talk you into it. And here's why. And I might try to talk you into it. And here's why you need to tell me no. And here's what you need to say to me so I don't get pissed at you. Because I might even do that because I'll be hungry. Like, I know me. So that's what I want you to be thinking about is you probably know way earlier in the day when you're going to go to hell at night. Or when there's chances of hell at night. And what we don't do is just wait until it happens and hope for the best. Sometimes we have to start reminding ourselves, like, look, I know you're having a tough day tonight. Here's how we're going to take care of ourselves. Here's all the things that we'll do to take care of ourselves. So now you get to look forward to the things that you're going to look forward to, the ways you're going to take care of yourself. And I also always give myself boundaries and say, and here's what we're not going to do. Because if I'm going to eat Chipotle with chips and guac, I don't want to do it because I'm scarfing it down because I'm pissed that my day went to hell. That is not how I want to do food. What I really want is to have Chipotle and chips and guac, like, say, on Tuesday night. Because now I get to look forward to it Monday and Tuesday, and I get to daydream about it. And I get to like make it special, and I get to eat it slow, and I won't be eating emotionally charged. I get to actually savor it. That's how I want to do Chipotle. And I just remind myself like of all of that stuff. And that is things that you can do when you're really busy. Because, you know, I'm gonna be real honest. There's sometimes I'm just sitting here talking to y'all when y'all are coaching. And on the inside, I'm coaching myself on something. I can listen to you and be telling myself, by the way, it'll be great when you get to take your makeup off. By the way, it'll be great when you get to lay in your bed and watch the next episode of Grey's Anatomy. I can do that and y'all never ha have the wiser. I'm pretty sure you can flip a patient and think about how you're going to treat yourself at night, what you can look forward to, your gentle boundaries. Because that's self-care in the moment. It's the best self-care. So, what are you thinking?
I am trying to think about some things that I could do when I get home on a day like that that would make me feel good.
Probably have that husband waiting. I'd
I
give him a
wish
limp.
he works late, so some nights I don't get to see him. So,
Oh, okay. Well, the days he's there, you could give him a list and say, like, incoming. Like, my best friend and I, when she used to, she lives in Albuquerque. We talk every day. And when she was like about ready to binge, and she had, this was back in the day when she had a really hard time telling me about him, she would text me a umbrella emoji, which meant a shit storm was about to come. So if I got an umbrella, that meant for me to text her and say, now look, here's all the things you've told me to tell you about binging. Here's all the things that you wanted me to remind you of. Here's all the things, blah, 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 blah. But you could, like, if your husband was at home, you could for sure have an emoji you text him right before you leave so that he can prepare things. So that, like, the moment you walk in, he can make that whole transition smoother. And then I would just probably have some easy things that you can always have happening around your house that give you immediate respite. You know, whether that's a certain place, you know, like on your couch, wherever you love to watch TV or something, maybe you have like your favorite blanket and stuff like that just laying there. So it's real easy to walk in the door and just be like, the first thing I do is I collapse and I just get under my blanket and I take 20 minutes to do nothing for a little bit, you know, just whatever you want to do. But you just kind of come up with some ideas on like, when I'm by myself, here's what I can do. Or if he's working and he can text you, you could just text him like, here's my emoji. When I leave work, it would help me if you texted back to me, like, I love you and things to remember or whatever. You can do any of that stuff. But I think when you put your brain to work on how can I thrive rather than sitting around thinking, my job just has bad days. I'm not doing a good job and I can't get it all done. And I just don't want to die in this job because some people have. The people that probably died in this job were the people who weren't working on things like you are. They weren't working on their stress levels. They weren't working on thinking about how can they thrive in the job. They were just taking it in the ass emotionally, which was probably jacking their stress levels up, which also affects your health. So anything that you can do to listen for ways that you talk at work, to take your own temperature down, is always helpful. Like even if you say like, I hate this part, I always remind myself, there is no part of my job that I actually hate. There's a lots of parts of my job that's boring, that's physical, that's demanding. There's lots of parts of my job that, I don't particularly love, but I'm always looking for just every little way to war game. How am I going to think differently? Because anything that feels terrible, no matter how true it feels, I just suffer. And I'm all about trying to figure out how do I cut out as much unnecessary suffering as I possibly can in my life. So just pay attention to it and just put your brain to work on thriving. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that die in this job. I am going to figure out how to thrive in this job for the next 9 years. In fact, I'm going to thrive so well that all those young kids are taking notes because they're like, I just want to be like DeRonda. She just like, I don't know. She can do this shitty job and she seems to be all right all the time. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I
Bye-bye.
appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Lindsay. Let's see. I have made some great progress with the START program, especially around self-care and stopping at enough, but I feel resistance towards completing the discovery worksheet. My thought is, I know why I overate, etc. I don't need to complete it. Can you go over the benefits again of the worksheet? Yes. And I also have very exciting news. So, the benefits of the discovery worksheet is number one, if you already know why you overeat, write it down because what happens is when you get it out of your head and onto paper, your brain synthesizes it very differently. So, just the virtue of the, not the virtue, just the action of answering the questions, sometimes you might discover something that you don't already know because you do the questions. The other thing that it does is just that anytime you put something on paper, your brain is now thinking about it different than when it's mulling over in your head. When it's mulling in your head, it's mulling it over with fears, with worries, and everything that you believe to be true. So a lot of things we think, we just think are truths, and 90% of what you think is absolutely not true. It's an interpretation of a fact. And a lot of facts, we just think a lot of our thoughts are just like spitting the facts, and it's not. So when you have to write it out, very often your brain can now synthesize for what on here am I writing that's factual, and what on here am I writing is really just my interpretation of what's happening. And that in and of itself happened. Now, the exciting news is we were going to do discovery worksheets next month, but I decided to change because we think, keeping our fingers crossed, that starting in April, You will either get new designed discovery worksheets that will be more specific to problems. So there'll be like a discovery worksheet for I didn't follow my plan, a discovery worksheet for I didn't make my plan, a discovery worksheet for I ate past enough, a discovery worksheet for I ate when I wasn't hungry. There'll be like different scenario discovery worksheets. But the big surprise, and I'm really hoping that we'll be able to do this, is my son and my niece are going to work on some software to make the discovery worksheets quiz format. So you can take a quiz, and the quiz will tell you what's going on with the eat, and then it should direct you to resources. So I'm just starting to work on it. I had this brilliant idea and had to talk it over with Chris. I was like, can we get. Like, can y'all program something? And he said, I think we can. So I'm hoping it releases in April. But like I said, it's going to depend on the speed of Logan and Lexi. So, and they're still like in their learning phases, but I believe in them. And I'm just going to believe this is going to, I'm going to manifest that this happens for all of us. All right. I covered up your name. Lindsay, what you need help with?
So, what you were saying earlier was super helpful for me. One of my questions is, I have had a lot of feelings of disappointment coming up, and a lot of my when I'm thinking about, oh, what are you thinking right now when you're overeating or when you're choosing to eat off plan or what have you, I feel like a lot of my thoughts are subconscious. How can you kind of stay aware and be able to pull those out? Because a lot of the times I'm eating is when I'm tired. Oh, when I got my kids, when I'm back, home at the end of a long day, and then I get disappointed in myself, and then I find other reasons why I'm disappointed in myself or when I don't follow through, and a lot of those thoughts aren't true, you know what I mean? But then I find myself hiding, not wanting to get on the scale, not wanting to make my plan. I have a lot of resistance about planning, and I think it stems with because I'm disappointed when I can't follow through 100%. You know what I
Why are
mean?
you disappointed?
I don't know because I lost, I don't know, 90 pounds or so a few years back, maintained it for like a year. And in the past year, I've regained maybe 20 pounds back. And so it's, one of the thoughts I find that I don't actually say it to myself, but it's in there. I feel like it's more subconscious than anything is a, oh, there you go. You can't do it. And I'm like, no, that's not true. Like, I totally can. You know what I mean? I've totally done it before.
Well, it's not super subconscious if you're able to argue with it.
Well, I'm trying to like bring that out. You know what I mean? Like, but I feel like some of the other thoughts, because I'm like, well, so is that it? Is the only reason you're overeating is because you're tired and like you don't hate your kids, but you don't want to have to parent when it's 6 o'clock at night and everybody's tired, including yourself. So it's, you know what I mean? And so it's like, well, why else? Because that's the majority of where my problem is. I'm great throughout the
I will tell you,
day.
90% of the overeats that we work on come from exhaustion.
Yeah, I believe
They
it.
come from either, especially like later in the day. Like anything past about 2 o'clock on, like most of y'all are, it's very rare that I have someone come on. In fact, I could probably count on one hand how many times I've had somebody come on and say, my problem is I blow it first thing in the morning. It's like it's usually I start off with good intentions, and then somewhere after 2 o'clock, good intentions go to die. So somewhere between 2 and 10, it's just a hell loop. So, like when you say, is it just it? Is it just tired? It's like, yeah. Why do you need a bigger reason than that? Let's just work on the tired. So there's two things going on here. And we just need to pick which one you think is the most important. There is the cycle of disappointment, which is like I have an overeat or whatever. I make that mean something about me, and then I'm disappointed in me. And then that leads me to hiding and not making plans and whatnot because I don't want to
Just
do
let it
anything
pattern.
that will make me think those thoughts. Because that's all the only reason why we start hiding. Is because it's like, oh, if I mess up and then I make mess ups mean something bad about me, why would you want to do anything else that could like literally trigger that? So, what we end up doing though is We cut ourselves off from being able to change how we talk to ourselves. So you take away the things that bring up the disappointment and that bring up the shame and bring up the terrible self-talk. If you take those things away, yeah, that self-talk goes away, but so does rewiring how you talk to yourself. And unfortunately, in life, if you're overweight, at some point you're gonna want to try to diet again. I mean, let's all be honest. I've never seen anybody say, like, Corinne, I quit. And then they wrote me back, 10 years later and said, and I stayed quit the whole time. Never tried again. Like, no, that never happens. My 84-year-old grandmother still wants to try to lose weight. MJ's mother, when she was dying in hospice, one of the last things she said to MJ was she wished she could weigh because she bet she had lost weight. When MJ told me that, I said, we should do a podcast. Because that is, I don't want that for any woman to on your deathbed to be literally laying there. And the biggest thought you have is, I wish somebody could weigh me because I probably lost weight because I've been so sick. So we can work on that. Or we work on these overeats. Like you're acting as if, like to me, tired is a signal you're not taking care of yourself. If your kids are running you ragged, then what can we do to not be run ragged? And we need to just remind ourselves we're in a season. Like when Logan was like between, I don't know, I don't know, birth, like 10, the first 10 years of his life. Like, it was rough, really rough for us, especially me, because I was home with him all the time. I did all the therapy. I did all the running around. I was, like, it was a lot. And I had to remind myself all the time, it is okay to not like this. It is okay to literally not love this part. I love him. I cannot stand his fits. I love him. I do not like, 90 minutes in the car to just get to therapy. I love him. I do not like what little time is left over for me every day. And when I started acknowledging that, I didn't need to eat over it. But sometimes what we do is we don't even acknowledge the pain we're in and let us just feel like it is okay to not like this, for our kids to get on our nerves, whatever's going on for you. We eat to not feel that instead of just like, it is okay to feel that. It is like the rite of passage for most mothers. And I don't need to feel guilty or ashamed or anything else about it. It's called being a parent. Like, don't have kids if you want to love them. All the time. It's like, then don't have one because you ain't gonna love them all the So
Well, I've
tell
been
me where
that's
you
been
want
my
to work.
I don't know that's been my focus this week is how can you take care of yourself? Number one, like before anybody else, how what can you do? And I've done something this week to help with that, and it has helped. It has made me realize some of the things I've done this year, even because I've had some big changes this year. Because I'm like, well, even this afternoon, I'm like, so how long? How long is it, have you been regaining, or how long? Because it's really slow. You know what I mean? And it's like you ignore it, and I don't really care what the weight is. I just want to feel better. But now I'm to the point where I'm like, I don't feel good in my body. Like my body needs to be smaller. I feel better in a smaller body, and I realize that there's a lot of change that I've had. And I'm like, well, you run your own schedule now. Like, how can you help yourself? And even this week, it's been nice because I pick up a lot of shifts elsewhere to help other people. I'm like, you're not doing that at all this week. Like, you're not going to do that. And I told my husband, don't let me pick up any shifts. I'm not picking up any extra work. I'm only doing my work, and I'm going to hang out, and I'm going to have time. It's been so nice. And I do feel like I'm eating less. You know what I mean? Less like thinking about food and stuff. And yes, yesterday I went off plan, but it was at the end of the day when I've got all my three kids and they're tired and I'm tired. And so I don't know. I feel like I keep coming back. Well, what, how can you better take care of yourself? How can you do this? And I'm like, I don't know, 6 o'clock hits and I am tired And it's not like I can go to bed. I got three kids I got to get to bed. You know what I mean? I got to get ready for the next day. So it's like, I don't know how to take care of that piece. Like, how do I take care of tired me? You know?
Well, what do you think you could do? Is there anywhere in there that it's not like going to bed? It's not taking a break. How old are your kids?
Four, six, and eight.
Okay. So they're in that age where there's just not a lot they can be doing for themselves either. I mean, there's probably I will just say this. There may be some things that if you just kind of, I'm a big proponent of what we call time studying ourselves, kind of like watching your evenings just to make sure that you're not doing things for your kids, that it's just time to let them do themselves, even if it annoys you, even if it's not done perfectly, or we let go of some things because it's like, all right, I could let go of this thing I want done in exchange for just some more rest, because if I keep this, I'm also keeping wearing myself out to the point I just need to eat. And we kind of do that. So I always like to give y'all the option of, before we just thought work it, how can we like make some actual change? So if there's any space for actual change, that's the easiest place to always start because we have control over some of that stuff. Now, if you don't really have any of that, and we're just like, nope, this is the way it is. I'm going to like get to the end of the day and I'm going to be wore out. Then we have to start thinking about how are you setting yourself up for this time? Like when you know that you're going to have all your kids and it's going to be a day when you're tired, for God's sakes, don't cook on that night. What happens on those nights where you just like tell me like what happens?
I work during the daytime, so I go do what I need to do during the daytime, and then my husband picks up the kids from school, usually not all the time. Sometimes I do, but
Just give me an example though of a day where, like this is a classic example, Corinne. I've got the like I overeat or I whatever happens where you say like this is the fuck up.
So my 4-year-old is a 4-year-old, and he screams and cries at everything. It doesn't have any rhyme or reason. And I yell at him. Of course, I'm tired and I don't want to hear it. And I've already tried the nice, gentle parenting, and I'm done. I'm done with the day. My daughter said that to me, and I was like, oh my God, I say that all the time. I'm done with the day. Then I feel bad about it. And then for God's sake, I just want them to go to bed. And then I just want to
That
have some
is
time to
where we
myself.
create. All right, this is why you're eating. I'm gonna tell you right now. Because you're not gonna like, you've got to quit telling yourself, I wish I had time for myself. You need to
Yeah.
tell yourself
Give me a few minutes.
that's not helping because I can't get time for myself right now. There's no
Yeah.
time for me right now. Like sometimes you just have to tell yourself the truth. Because I just want y'all all to think about it's like, yes, of course you wish. But in the moment, if you're wishing, you're kind of turning up the dial that says, I need to relieve the pressure. I need to relieve the. I mean, I just want you to think about what your brain is doing. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, what you're really wishing is for a break. So I know if you eat, even though you're going to, like, eating makes the 4-year-old's fit more tolerable. Okay. But I think the real problem is that when you yell, you just threw it out there as if it's just normal. And of course, I feel bad about that. It's like, I would never feel bad about that. The goal is gentle parenting. But the 4-year-old has thrown a wrench in the works. You are allowed to not be a perfect parent. You are allowed to, on your tired days, like you are allowed to do your best and then sometimes yell at your kid. You are allowed to get upset. He is not harmed from this. Look, if yelling at your kids did immense harm, Gen X would be a bigger mess than we are. Because we were raised by boomers, and boomers did one thing. They yelled at you. Hell,
True. Yeah,
I got whippings
maybe.
that they yelled at all my life. My mama whipped me until I was 17. Turned out just fine. Now, I'm not saying our new parenting method is going to be the 1980s. We're going back to yelling. But you are like, if you're yelling at yourself because you're being a human who is exhausted and tired and you've tried and you're at your bandwidth, the last thing you need, like, you're eating because you're yelling at yourself now.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like, and we don't want to do that. And I know you're doing it because you're also just you're yelling at yourself when you overeat. You're yelling at you, like you said, I'm disappointed. Do not be disappointed that you're overeating. Be proud to find it. Be willing to diagnose it. Be honest about what's going on. But I'm telling y'all right now, when y'all overeat, this isn't because something's wrong with you. It is the internal rescue system. Every time y'all are overeating, that means somewhere, either because I'm yelling at myself about yelling at my kid, I'm just fucking tired. And I keep just wishing everything would go away instead of saying, like, girl, this is the hard part, and I understand. I know it would be great to go to bed, but here's other ways we're going to start taking care of ourselves. Or even if you can't take care of yourself in that moment, go to the bathroom, run some cold water over your hands, splash it in your face, and just tell yourself, I am going to figure out how to make all this easier on myself. And then get right back in if you have to. But always like all these overeats are just reminders of little things that are going on in our life that we're turning to food over. That's all it is. It is not cause for disappointment in yourself. If you want to be disappointed in that 4-year-old. So like, look, bud, I done told you. I mean, there's plenty of places to actually be disappointed. This just isn't like I would tell myself, hey, I can be disappointed because I'm tired. I can be disappointed that I don't get a break today. I can be disappointed in those things. The last thing I need to be doing, though, is being disappointed in myself. There's just no reason to be. I'm doing my best. I have no reason to be disappointed. Sometimes my brain wants to be disappointed in me, and I am unlearning that. There's no reason to be. Because let me ask you this. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you had to give yourself a rating on 1 to 10, on most days, are you doing your best?
Yeah,
Trying.
totally. For sure.
Exactly. Almost all of us, if we had to give ourselves a rating, we would be an 8 or above on most days. Like most days, I am doing my best. It's just my best is different every day. Some days my best is following my plan. Some days my best is not yelling at myself because I yelled at my kid. Some days my best is catching myself in the middle of an overeat and telling myself, I'm going to give myself grace to stop. So, what are you thinking?
I mean, maybe that's why I'm so reluctant to have a 24-hour plan because I keep saying, oh, you're disappointed because you didn't follow 100%. Well, it's not always
That's
100%.
exactly why. If all you're going to do is beat yourself up, if all you're going to do is wear yourself out even more than your life is because you're not following a plan, why would you ever put yourself in harm's way? I mean,
I would
you're
like
treating following a 24-hour plan like I've got a grand idea. I'm going to go try to play Frogger on the interstate. Human Frogger. Very dangerous. We wouldn't be doing that. But you've made the 24-hour plan and following it a dangerous activity. Because if I do it, then I'm just going to be disappointed myself. And I want you to think about it this way. I'm going to do it so that I can see how I talk to myself because it is damn time for me to fix that. Because if the first win really is that I learn how to, like, I don't follow that plan, but I learn how to have my bike. I learn how to take the temperature down. That's going to help me everywhere in my life. Because if you're willing to beat yourself up over a 24-hour plan, I can't imagine where else in life that you are beating yourself up because you really think it is like you should be doing that.
Yeah.
And so
It's
we do
amazing
that
because
as the
even
first
this
win.
year, how many you should do this. You should, I've cut a lot of that out. I'm like, no, girl, you shouldn't. The shouldn't is not there. Like, you either want to do it or you don't. And it's okay if you don't. So that I feel that for sure. I've already, you know what I mean? I talk to myself about that all the time. The should, you should do this, you should do that. No. So you should take care of yourself. I am taking care of myself, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the best I can.
Yeah. Okay.
So do the 24-hour plan and then I just want you to do it for the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Say, like, I either follow it or I don't.
Yeah.
But what's not allowed anymore is disappointment in myself. I'm allowed to learn. I'm allowed to rewire how I talk to myself. That I'm allowed to do. This bullshit about being disappointed, if I hear it, I need to remind myself that, nope, we're allowed to do this and we're allowed to do that. Treat yourself like the 4-year-old. It's like, look, you are allowed to play with these toys. You are not allowed to go over there and smear shit on the walls.
Yes. Okay. I could do that. I could do
Yeah.
that.
It's so funny because you mentioned, like, I do the gentle parenting. It's like, gentle parent yourself. Like, if you got to where you could, like, I was actually reading this the other day. I was reading a blog or something. I don't remember who wrote it, but they were talking about the concept of like, when you soften how you treat yourself, it ripple effects to the rest of the world. Like if you find ways to be understanding and curious and compassionate about you start forming that habit with you. The next thing you know, like, in areas of your life where you're not always understanding, compassionate, or curious with others, you naturally kind of start doing that. So anything that we work on ourselves, so like if you say, like, I am going to gentle parent myself all the way through this 24-hour plan thing, you might find that you find that you have a little bit easier time staying more consistent with it with the 4-year-old, even when, he's going to always be your, like, biggest opportunity to learn a lot about yourself. I mean, he is, if he's anything like my child was, he is like, I am putting you through the master's degree program of figuring out how to talk to yourself.
It gives me plenty of opportunity.
Exactly. So we'll gentle parent ourselves through the next 30 days of making a 24-hour plan every single day. The goal can be to follow it. And then when you don't, the goal is not to beat ourselves up. The goal is to be curious, to understand why we didn't, to see, I probably have needs that need to be met. There's probably things I'm thinking that I need to change. I'm allowed to rewire how I talk to myself. That's what I'm
Practice.
that's going to be my biggest lesson this next 30 days. Okay.
Can do.
Thank
Thank you.
you. All righty. Bye-bye. All right, I'm a big liar. I'm going to answer the last bit of these questions because I said I had a hard break at 1:43 or 1:30, and here we are at 1:43. I'm going on my first professional business trip. My body has shifted since I've moved. Overall, less stress, more water, getting close to 40. However, last time I went clothes shopping, I had a hard time with the shitty brain telling me that I've not done enough to lose more weight. I want to go in with a better attitude. I also have no clue what to buy for a professional convention and don't want to mess it up. I've got a strict budget, looking for advice from the queen of conferences. So funny you mentioned this because mine is coming up this week and I had to dig through my closet and I was like, I haven't, like, really went anywhere and dressed in business clothes in a long time. And so I went shopping yesterday. I couldn't find nothing that I liked. So I don't really have a, the only thing I like, I'm not sure what your size is, but I should have just went online and ordered stuff 2 weeks ago. But White House Black Market is always a winner for me for business clothes. Banana Republic has a lot of things like that. I like those two places for more businessy things. But what I will say is, you talked about, I had a hard time with my shitty brain telling me I've not done enough to lose more weight. I just tell myself, like, okay, I get it. You think I haven't done enough to lose more weight. Now, I just want to make sure that's true. Because if you've been trying really hard, but you've been having overeats and stuff, and you're also doing discovery worksheets, and you've been attending calls, and you've been doing things, you've done a lot. You're just still working through things, which is very different than you haven't done enough. Now, if it's just true that, for the last few months you've kind of been checked out and you haven't been really doing a lot, and then all of a sudden you're back and you're got a conference and all this other stuff, I would just tell myself, okay, it's just true. I didn't do enough, and that's okay. What can I learn from that? What is it that I wish I had done so that now I can make sure that I do that from this moment moving forward? We can take literally any shitty thought that we have, y'all, and we can either agree with it and say, and then add to it, or we can challenge a shitty thought and we can say, honestly, it's not true. And here's the things that, like, what's really true is maybe I haven't lost as much weight as I wish I had, but I'm working through these things. I'm doing all of these things. I was just wrong about how long this would take. So there's always ways to find compassion and wiggle room and all of that. I'm going to do one more. And then the rest of these, a lot of these can just be asked in the Facebook group. There's one about being getting my water in, being a Diet Coke addict. I would totally take that to the Facebook group. There are a lot of people that have worked through that, and that would help. A functional medicine practitioner said I should eat breakfast within an hour of waking, and I have three protein-forward balanced meals along with removing gluten, added sugar, and caffeine. But for some reason, this feels like I can't do this in no BS. Why? But it goes along with the timed eating approach in a recent 365, right? Yeah. I don't like, I have always said to all of you, I don't care if you do keto. I don't care what you do. You can drop anything in. No BS is about thinking before you eat. If you go to a functional medicine person and you want to do their diet, like you want to say, like, I would love to try this. I want to feel my best. Then you lay out the thing that's called thinking before you eat. You're just thinking in a big swath. You're just creating a protocol for yourself. We teach protocols all the time. You're just creating a protocol. My protocol is now I don't eat gluten. I don't do added sugar. I'm not going to do caffeine. You can do it all at once. You can like phase it in. Like this month, I'm working on this. This month, I'll work on this. This month, I'll work on this. However, you and your functional medicine person arrange it. If you like, I almost always eat breakfast first thing in the morning now. Sometimes I wait about an hour to an hour and a half, just depending on if I want to journal first and drink my coffee or if I want to eat and then do it. I'm not always hungry when I first wake up, but I've been listening to my body. And for me, eating a good breakfast first thing has really made my weightlifting much stronger and better. So I'm using, like, here. This is going to surprise all of you. You have a body and your brain is part of it. What? Like, y'all think that thinking before you eat is only about your stomach. We also use our brain, motherfuckers. That's part of our body. And if our brain notices that we perform better when we eat, guess what? We listen to it. If you are like me, where you have days where you can't eat meals when you would naturally be hungry, you listen to your brain that says, Corinne, if you don't eat, you're going to get hungry. And you're going to be in the middle of a meeting, and then it could be hours before you get to eat again. We listen to that part of our brain. That's called informed decisions. All I ask y'all to do is think before you eat. I just don't want you reacting to the world with food. Oh my God, I'm nervous. Where's a donut? Oh my God, my patient shit their pants today. I should swing by McDonald's. Oh my God, I think somebody looked at me odd. I should go grab a candy bar. Oh my God, I'm bored. I should get some popcorn. That's That's not thinking before you eat. Let's see, what else did it say? She said it will help balance my hormones and learn to feel my real hunger again. I think that's great. Try it. That is what No BS is all about: experimentation, trying things, seeing how it reacts in our body, paying attention, thinking before we eat, and the big one. You're going to institute this new protocol. Guess what it's going to do? It's going to be really hard. You're going to have a lot of thoughts. You're going to want to not follow it because you're changing your patterns. You're changing your habits. So you'll use No BS to work through all of it. Because if the end goal is really to do this, that doesn't mean like, well, I'm going to make this snap decision and my hormones are going to be the big thing. You're probably going to do this just like we do everything. In the very beginning, you'll be excited about it because it'll be shiny and new. It'll have a fresh start energy to it. And then eventually, emotions will start coming into play. And you won't want to do it. And you'll want to cheat a little. And you'll want to do this. And you'll negotiate. And you'll have excuses. And you'll blame. And you'll have justifications and all this other. And you get to use every one of your No BS tools alongside of it. That's exactly how all this works. So y'all can follow anything you want. I mean, one of the reasons why we give y'all menus every week is because so many of you got overwhelmed with picking your own food. You're so afraid you would screw it up, you didn't do any kind of picking. You just kept eating the way you always do. So we started giving y'all meal plans every week just for the people who just like need ideas and stuff or who want to follow one. But that doesn't mean you'll follow that even perfectly. All right. Let's see. She said, thank you. For some reason, I needed permission from the queen. All right. All right. I've got to get out of here. Well, one last one. What do you like to eat for breakfast? I eat the same breakfast almost every single day. Three eggs, scrambled. I eat a Dave's Killer bagel. Right now I'm on a big sesame, whatever that, I don't, it's not sesame, it's the everything bagel kick. Sometimes I do the cinnamon raisin, but most of the time I'm doing the everything. And I put sugar-free apricot jelly on it. I don't know why, but I like the savory sweet. And blueberries. Sometimes I do two eggs with egg whites. I'll do the bagel with some peanut butter on it. Just depends on if I'm craving peanut butter that day. And then the blueberries. That is almost always my breakfast. Right now, it's my fave. And I'm just one of those people that if I find something I like, boy, I'm zeroed in on it. And I eat a really big breakfast because I go hard all day. I lift weights. I just like to kick my body off. And I do think that when you are a woman of a certain age, which means once you're getting into perimenopause and menopause, I do think it's like it's good for us to eat breakfast. It goes a little against waiting for hunger. I don't think there's anything wrong with if you'd prefer to wait for hunger. But what I have found, and I will just say this because I think this is important. If you are a nighttime eater and you are struggling with nighttime eats, but you are not hungry first thing in the morning and you're kind of like waiting, what I've noticed, and there's a, I think I did a video about it. I think y'all have it. It's in the replays. So if you go to the replays, you'll find it. It's about underfeeding. If you have a really hard time with eating at night, a lot of times it's because you are underfeeding during the day and you're going into the evening not only tired, but when you your body feels like it's underfed and it's also really tired, the logical brain shuts down. So the part of your brain that wants to lose weight, that makes decisions, that's going to keep you on track and all this other stuff, it just goes away because the habit brain is now what takes over. So sometimes it's really helpful that if you're a nighttime eater, get into the habit of kickstarting a breakfast. I mean, like if we were counting calories, my breakfast is around 600. It's a hearty breakfast. It is not like what I read some of y'all do, which is like 150 calories. I'm like, that doesn't even get a toddler going first thing in the morning, much less a grown ass woman. So I pretty much eat 3 to 4 meals a day. I like to eat breakfast. I like to eat lunch. I like to eat dinner. And sometimes I do a snack just depending on how hungry I am that day. But each one of my meals are somewhere between, if I was counting calories, I would say they're between six and 800 calories. And that's just for me to maintain and to lift weights. I don't do any cardio. I mean, I like to think I do cardio, but basically I walk about 20 minutes some days. Like there, Corinne ain't out there running. She ain't doing no step mills and doing a lot of stuff. Every now and then I get my fancy and I do a sweat. But I mean, when I say every now and then, I'm like once every 2 weeks. But I lift pretty aggressively, 4 to 5 days a week. Y'all probably, if we were doing calories, should be around the 1800 mark. We don't have to undereat near as much as we think we do. A lot of you are overeating because you are spending too much time undereating. And if you would just eat a good meal, two enough, and you don't wait for starving, you wait for quiet hunger. Quiet hunger is like the first whispers of hunger. It's the I'm just now noticing I'm hungry. It's noticing that you're losing your concentration. It's for me, like my hunger, like right now, I'm pretty hungry because I ate breakfast so freaking early this morning. And it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And like a protein shake doesn't do anything for me other than give me protein. It's not a meal replacement. I don't know who in the world can drink a protein shake and think that that does it for them. I mean, I'm even busy today. I drink a protein shake and I swear to God, all it's done is made me more hungry. But if you will eat and you will listen for whispers of hunger, for me, sometimes my whispers are where I just start thinking about food. And I look at the time and I think about, it's probably about right. I mean, it's been like 3 to 4 hours since I ate. Sometimes it's just two and a half or three. And I'm like, this is probably early hunger. And I just go with it. And I just eat it enough. Y'all are not going to be overweight because you're doing that. You will be overweight if you're always pushing hunger and then losing control. You will be overweight if you are eating because you're having a bad day. You will be overweight if you're eating because you just want to get along with everyone. That's the stuff we work on. But y'all don't need to panic that if you start just being a well-fed woman, we're eating for energy, we're eating for muscle, we're eating for longevity, that is not going to make you overweight. So the goal here in No BS. It's not to be some starved out bitch. So much so that it tips you over into the land of eating your face off because you're not taking care of yourself. Eating is a form of taking care of your body. Don't ever forget that. I just don't want you taking care of your emotional life with food. You deserve a better emotional life. And when we fix the things that are going on in your life, where you can think about things differently and you can take care of yourself better, you'll cut out the unnecessary eating, the band-aid eating, the like eating to just get through this. That's the big problem. And that's what I don't want y'all to lose focus on. That's what we got to work on. Okay, I do have to get out of here. So I'm going to record y'all's content for March. I'm so excited. So I will see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.